On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, the baseball team struggles at home against Auburn, women's basketball picks up a big transfer commitment, and NFL dreams turn into reality. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 153 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And if there are any new listeners out there, well, first off, welcome. Welcome to the party. But what I mean by that is I try to keep every episode of my show from 18 minutes and 1 second to 20 minutes and 1 second, 1801. The founding of USC, and 2001, A Space Odyssey. But don't bust my chops too bad if I miss it a little bit here and there. You know, it's heading to the summertime. Sometimes it's a little bit easier to, you know, keep it on the short side. Or sometimes there's not as much news going on in the summer. But I hope y'all had a lovely weekend out there. There was a lot of action this past weekend, so I don't think it's going to be on the too short of a side here, but I hope y'all did enjoy the weekend. It was rainy, miserable, crappy by me. I hope you guys had some sunshine at least. Kind of reflected the baseball team, honestly, my weekend, but it was just a real just up and down type of weekend here. A lot of different moving parts from the last few days around Gamecock Nation, and I'm here to unpack it all with y'all before we dive into the action from the baseball diamond, which really took up most of our attention. But let's take a weekend recap here and look at some scores from around USC Athletics. Starting off with Friday, softball lost to Auburn 1-0. That's all right. Beach volleyball also lost to Florida State 4-1. Y'all get them next time. And then Saturday, softball beat Auburn, 8-0. And then on Sunday, softball had a tough one. They lost to Auburn 10-0, but that's all right. Hey, we bounce back. We get better and everything like that. I think this past week and then into this first few days of May here is actually exam week. So good luck to any and all students who are listening to the show. Bury yourself in one of the bottom floors of T-Coop. Grind out the studying. And then when you're done with your exams, take a page out of my book and go straight to Salty. Get yourself a pitcher, some peanuts, maybe some buffalo tenders as well. Nothing starts the summer off quite like the back deck of Salty. We'll take that to the grave. But we do have some news from around different teams here at USC. A bit of news that I actually missed, forgot to bring up last episode, is from the women's basketball team in that they picked up a commitment from transfer guard Tahina Paupau. Hope I'm pronouncing your first name right, but her Instagram is Lil Pow Pow. So first off, great start, great commitment. You have a fantastic Instagram follow name. But Tahina comes from the University of Oregon, where in 2021, she was on the Pac-12 all-freshman team. And then in 2022, earned first-team honors. So right away made her impact known, right away able to ramp up to an elite level of college basketball. Last season, she averaged 12 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. But the main sticking point here is that she averaged 42% in three-point shooting. So that is surely the strength and stat point that Dawn Staley was looking for in Tahina. I am very excited for this pickup. And it's funny because there's been a lot of action in the transfer portal in women's college basketball. There's been players who we've definitely been in on. There's been a couple that you thought would be natural fits for USC that have committed elsewhere. Obviously, this not being one of them. But I think Don right now is fine-tuning the roster for this upcoming season, wants to see who she has on the team this year, but you're not just going to accept having a gap in your roster. I think looking back at this last year's tournament, having a sharpshooter was something that we generally missed. You know, you could have, you know, Zaya or someone else get hot from three, but that wasn't their calling card. Lil Pow Pow's calling card is three-point shooting. So now you've filled that gap. So now I think Dawn wants to see who she has on the roster this year. Wouldn't surprise me if there's another pickup or two from the transfer portal, but I do think Dawn's eye is focused a little more on the future, where maybe in two seasons, that's where you're going to really see the strong recruiting classes blossom, and then you really complement that roster with the transfer portal. But nevertheless, welcome home, Tahina. I am excited for this pickup. And talking about being excited, it was the NFL draft this past weekend, and NFL dreams turned into reality for a lot of Gamecocks, as several Gamecocks are headed to the pros from our beloved football team. I'm going to read off the names in order in which they were drafted and to who they were drafted to. So starting with Cam Smith, he got things started in the second round. He is going to Miami. Zach Pickens is heading to Chicago. Darius Rush, the Indianapolis Colts. Javon Gwynn going to the A, going to the Atlanta Falcons. And Jalen Brooks going to the Dallas Cowboys. So huge congratulations to all these guys. It was so cool having the draft on. It's just a, first off, it's just a fantastic thing. You put it on the TV and it just runs in the background. You can do any number of things with it on. You're cleaning, I'm on my phone, I'm doing some other shit, and the draft is on and you hear a name and you look up and you're like, oh my God, Javon Gwynn just got drafted. Like, it was so cool to see, because with Cam, Zach, and Darius, those three guys kind of felt like they were a shoo-in to get drafted. I thought Darius fell a little bit more than I thought, and I think more than most people thought. But then Javon Gwynn and Jalen Brooks especially. Talk about this guy's story. This is a guy that never gave up. I mean, he was at, what was it, Winbury? Or some small school, comes to USC, has to fight for his eligibility, took forever for him to become eligible, goes through the coaching change, shines, and then last year, like, had his whole, like, away from the team but not type of situation, stuck to it, shined in moments, was a reliable target, got himself drafted. Just a very, very cool story. So congrats to all these guys, but the good times did not stop there, because any football fan will know that the players getting picked up and signed and everything does not stop at the draft, as you have undrafted free agents. Josh Van, free agent signed to the Carolina Panthers. So staying local, going to be paired up with Shai Smith. Very cool, that little Carolina to Carolina connection. Nate Adkins signed by the Denver Broncos. So how about that? Talk about another crazy story. But comes to USC, competes, develops, does the dirty work, shines late in the year. Now he's off to the Denver Broncos. And then Eric Douglas going to Tampa Bay. Very cool to see. Congrats to all of the Gamecocks who are now going to be competing at the NFL level. And I think a lot of these guys from this group we are going to see competing regularly at a very high level on Sunday for many years to come. And it's just so cool seeing a Carolina alumni. If you have the pleasure of having an impact player on your NFL team that is a Gamecock, first off, I'm very jealous because I have not had the pleasure of that yet. But it's just so cool. And it's just so cool to see them thrive in the pros. And it's great for the program. You know, you want to be able to sell success in college football. And as a recruiting tool, you want to be able to point to the NFL and say, hey, look, you come here, we got the coaching staff in place to develop you to get to the next level. As evident by the last coaching staff we had here, you don't want to be selling only the NFL, right? You don't want to just say, come here and I'm going to get you to the NFL, because then the school is just a medium and you lose a little bit of that affection and that attachment that is very important to your alma mater. Like, it matters to play for the university that you choose. So Coach Beamer has done a fantastic job of reestablishing that. Guys who want to play for the University of South Carolina. But of course, he's developing young men, and they're college kids. And a lot of these kids, their desired profession and their career is to go to the NFL. So almost like a teacher, Shane Beamer has to use the skills to say, hey, we're going to have success here at the college level. You're going to come to USC. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to get everything out of that is being a Gamecock. And that's just not for 3 or 4 years. That's for 30 or 40 years down the line. And then if you do everything right and we together win as a team, the NFL will handle itself. Just look at guys like a Jalen Brooks or a Darius Rush, Zach Pickens, these guys who really embodied South Carolina and the team, right? Josh Van. Just very, very cool to see. So it's great for the program, great for these guys, great for Carolina Gamecocks, all the way around. Congratulations. I was really, really milking that because now I have to talk about baseball. And it was not the most fun weekend on the baseball diamond. So I'm just really trying to find as much joy as I can from the NFL draft. But yeah, baseball, it was a very uncharacteristic weekend for the Gamecocks, but they avoided the worst of the worst as they ended up losing 2 out of 3 to Auburn, but avoided the sweep. Again, just very uncharacteristic. And, you know, I said it going into this series that, you know, you can't take every SEC team, any SEC team lightly, but this felt like a break. I certainly thought it was a break. You know, I thought Auburn was going to come into Founders, and I thought that this wasn't going to be easy, but I thought things were going to continue to roll. I think a lot of us thought that. I really hope I didn't mush it, because it did not look like the team that we had seen. Our pitching staff, who has been a fantastic strength for us all year, held one of the best ERAs in the SEC, was just simply not the case this week. A lot of guys got knocked around. To this point in the season, the South Carolina offense was super consistent. We know, one of the best high-powered in all of the country, let alone the SEC. That was not the case. So, again, there was no midweek game this week, and I was looking at that as a positive, where guys were going to be able to catch their breath, rest. Guys with nicks and bruises could, you know, ice them up, feel good, feel 110% going into this game. I think it was the opposite. I think it threw off their rhythm, threw off the momentum, was a full stop after that huge sweep against Florida, that there was nothing to keep the good times going. So they went into this series a little bit cold. So really just looked the opposite of what I had anticipated. Also, another disclaimer, why I claim to not be an expert. Not an expert, not trying to be. But also, I mean, just maybe some of the injuries, and because of that, the lack of depth at some spots also seemed to be rearing its head in this series. So it was kind of tough for the first two games, for sure. So let's look into each one here. The first game, South Carolina lost to Auburn 8-3. Auburn scored in the first on a crazy play. The guy stole home. Like, it just really summed up the series. Just like, what the hell's going on here? But Carolina was able to bounce back in the bottom of the inning. Will Sanders seemed to settle down a bit, but Auburn was able to string together a couple of crooked numbers in the fourth and fifth innings, and then, you know, top of the sixth as well. They got a bunch of men on. And Carolina just simply was not able to mount the comeback. Despite plating a couple later in the game, Auburn tacked on a few more, and that was all she wrote. Will Sanders did get the loss in the start. He went 6 innings and gave up 8 earned runs. Player highlights from the game: Ethan Petrie went 1-for-3 with a ribby. Cole Messina, 2-for-4 with 1 RBI. And Caleb Denny, 2-for-2 with 1 RBI. Game 2, South Carolina lost 9-5. It was a tough start for Jack Mahoney here as he gave up 4 runs in the first and 2 in the second. The power was certainly there for Auburn in this one as they hit multiple home runs. And that was really the difficult part of it, where in the blink of an eye in this game, Carolina was down by a big margin early. You know, although the boys were able to get one back in the bottom of the second, the team was just not able to break through like we had seen all year. The teams would go on to exchange runs in the fifth, 2 runs, and Carolina got 2 more in the seventh. But again, margin was just too big. Jack Mahoney got the loss, pitching 3 1/3, allowing 6 total runs, 5 of them earned. Some player highlights here. Cole Messina, he's a highlight in the day here. He had a nice one, 2-for-4 with 4 RBI, including a double and a home run. Jonathan French went 1-for-4 with an RBI, and Michael Braswell 1-for-3. And then Game 3 on Sunday came around where South Carolina avoided the sweep. They got the win 8-7, which marked their 500th win in the SEC. So very impressive milestone there for the university and program as a whole. This was a game where it felt like as the game went on, you started to see some of the swagger. And the team just looked like the team we've been watching all year, right? I mean, obviously, you wish that happened sooner in the game. Like, you know, shake off the rust after game one, then come back. But nevertheless, it looked like things started to click for this team. And you saw this team fight and show guts in the game to get a much, much needed win. And one that I hope will set up the team for momentum in this upcoming week. Auburn scored 5 runs in the first 2 innings, but Carolina got 2 back early and just stayed the course, right? They stayed the course, they battled, and as the game went on, got consistent offense, and then they got the huge knock from an unlikely hero in Will Tippett, who had a 3-run home run in the 7th to give Carolina the lead. Will Tippett! Tippett just rip it! My goodness, it was just an electric moment. The guys on the broadcast were saying you'd think you pinch hit for him here, a guy that's struggled to produce some power, kind of struggled to produce in general, but stays in and has his moment. Now, mind you, this was actually an inning or two after Mark Kingston was ejected, arguing a check swing call. So this was Monty Lee's call, and Monty has been credited with turning the offense around, so he must have had something. That gut feeling that Will was going to have a big hit there, and congratulations, man. That was awesome. Matthew Becker got the start after a rough first inning, though. He did settle down, ended up pitching 5 innings, got a no decision. Couple of guys from the bullpen chipped in, but Veach got the win, and Proctor got the save. So really all hands on deck here in this third game to make sure that we got the W in a much-needed spot. Player highlights here, Will Tippett, how can you not? 1-for-3 with 3 RBI. Michael Braswell, 1-for-4 with 2 RBI. And Cole Messina went 2-for-4. Up next for the Gamecocks is a midweek game at Winthrop in Rock Hill. Now, overall in the year, Winthrop is 21-21. They are significantly better at home. My crows to the game, now, I have 2 here. Normally in the midweek game, it's 1 very basic goal, right? But you're trying to right the ship here on the things that went wrong in those first 2 games against Auburn. So it's 2 crows, fix those 2 things. First, the pitching staff needs to have a good game. Whoever opens the game, I'm going to assume it's Jurzenbeck, needs to get things going on the right foot right away. Go out there. No one's asking you to be a world beater. Pitch 3 innings of good baseball, don't have to be perfect, just good baseball, and then the rest of the staff need to follow suit. If the pitching staff can go out and hold Winthrop to, say, I don't know, 4 runs or less, I think that will send some juice back into that group. And if it's even less than that, even more juice, because those guys need to just get reinvigorated and prove to themselves and know it once again that, hey, despite what happened against Auburn, we're a pretty good pitching staff. We're deep. We got good stuff. Second, just mash the ball, right? I mean, just for most part, this series against Auburn, we did not see those big FU type of innings that we're used to seeing. We didn't see the bounce back innings that we're used to seeing. So the guys in the lineup need to do that. Just mash the frickin' ball. Don't lose the approach that's worked so well this year, right? Like, don't drastically change anything because of two bad games, right? But these guys need to have, like, multiple innings where they rally and they score in bunches. Just get that swagger back. Got a tough SEC road ahead, so this is a big-time midweek game that I really hope this last Game 3 win against Auburn sparks the team. Hope guys come back healthy. Lee Croy, we need you. Some other guys are on the way. The cavalry is coming. So let's go. Let's go. Big week for Carolina. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. My Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.